Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in America. Over 1,000 dealers in the nation. Hustler Turf, dealer near you. Go to visit hustlerturf.com, hustlerturf.com. They know their stuff. One of the greatest football coaches in my life dominated college football with the sorely missed Hurricanes. I miss when the Hurricanes are great, college football is good. Then he went to the Dallas Cowboys. And in the 32, 33 years Jerry's owned that team, they've been great once when Jimmy had all the football power. Since then, they've been good a few times. Right now, they made a splashy deal. Dak Prescott now $40 million a year, although this year they get a bit of a cap break. And Jimmy Johnson, Fox Sports, now joining us live, the Hall of Famer. So it's interesting. When Russell Wilson signed that big deal in Seattle, Jimmy, immediately John Snyder and Pete Carroll, they started accumulating draft picks. They knew we got to get a lot of players here that don't make a lot of money. When Aaron signed his deal, Green Bay started moving picks. If you ran the Cowboys today and the Jones family said, we just paid Dak $40 million on average 3 of the last 4 years, would you look at your number 10 pick and start making deals and try to get more picks?
You got to get some players cheap somehow, because, they've got half a dozen players that are eating up a lot of the cap. And, so you've got to offset that with some players that are inexpensive. And the way you get inexpensive players is you got to draft well. You got to hit on your draft picks. I think it's going to be critical for them to draft well if, they're going to compete. Now, I think they can win the NFC East because you look at the East right now, really the only other quarterback that's proven, and he's not exactly proven, would be Jones with the Giants. Philadelphia's a mess right now. Washington, who knows? They have, no quarterback situation right now. And so Dallas can win the NFC East, but I don't know if they can go further than that.
Yeah. It's I said last year Cleveland had so much of their money on offense that their defense wasn't very good. Dallas has a lot of money on the offensive side of the ball. Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, Dak, Zeke, Amari. I feel like Dallas now has to really, in the next couple drafts, Jimmy, they got to go heavy on defense. I mean, if you were told, here's what I'm paying my quarterback, would you go to your scouting department and say, we're going defense the next couple drafts?
Well, you say go defense, but, if Dak's going to have success, they've got to shore up that offensive line. They can't count on Tyron Smith and Zach Martin and all those guys being healthy because they weren't healthy this year. They've got the receivers. They've got as good a receiving core as there is in the league. But you don't know, is Ezekiel, is he going to be able to be successful with no offensive line? So I think they got to get him a couple of offensive linemen as well, just to ensure that what happened last year won't happen this year. But you're right. Other than that, you got to find some defensive players, and you got to hit on them in the draft.
When you were with Jerry Jones, was he as free spending? It seems to me as he's aged, he kind of got rolled in this. Dak got everything he wanted. Go back to your years with him. Was he as free spending then?
Yeah, Colin. We had our first Super Bowl. We had the lowest paid team in the entire league.
Wow.
Lowest paid team in the entire NFL. The reason for that is because, it was the youngest team in the NFL. Both Super Bowls, we were the youngest team in the NFL. Well, if you have the youngest team in the NFL, they're not going to be paid a lot of money. That team wasn't built with free agents. It was built through the draft. And that's why they were good for a long period of time, because they were all young players. So he didn't have to spend much money then. We signed, Troy to a contract, but, please, that's piddling money compared to what they make nowadays. Really, it wasn't a problem back then.
There's a lot I like about Dak. I think I think if I ran a pro sports team, what I try to avoid is paying good players great money. I think he's a good player who just got a great contract. What do you like about Dak, and what concerns you with all the times you've seen him?
I think he's a great leader for the team. I think the team really rallies around him. So he is a positive influence there. He can, you know, before the injury, he could make plays with his legs. You know, he could run the football. And, you know, he fit into their system. He has had problems at times being inaccurate. But with that receiving core, you know, he gets people open. So I like Dak, and I'm kind of like you. I think he can win you a championship if he has great players around him. I don't think Dak can carry a football team if he doesn't have great players around him.
Yeah, he has struggled last couple of years against winning teams. Do you think second year with Mike McCarthy, go back to your career? You know, I mean, obviously, Troy struggled first year, got better second. Really, you know, by third year, you guys won a lot. Do you think it's an advantage getting Mike McCarthy and Dak in their second year? How much of a leap do you think that means?
I don't know that it's going to be a huge leap. And, you know, because, you know, he had his offensive coordinator and play caller that he's had for the last couple of years. There really wasn't a change there. So I don't know that McCarthy is going to make that big an influence on Dak and that team. You know, again, because it's not like he was going to a new system. They pretty well were doing what they did before McCarthy ever got there.
Yeah. When you look at, I mean, Dan Quinn is the new defensive coordinator. I think they'll be better. I think that's an upgrade. But let's be honest. I mean, when you look at that defensive personnel, Jalen Smith's a good player, but can I make the argument there's not a lot there?
No, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence has got a big contract, and he's had some good years. Jalen Smith, you know, there are a lot of complaints about Smith last year because of being out of position. But I think the entire defense was out of position. They will be better. Like you say, Quinn will do a much better job with that defense, and plus having an offseason, you know, putting into the system that they are comfortable with. So they'll be better defensively, and that will help without question. But, you know, a concern that I have is like some of their key players were injured last year. Yeah. And once a player is starting to have injuries, the percentage of injuries goes up with that particular player. So there's no guarantee some of those key players are going to stay healthy. And, you know, you don't know about Ezekiel either. You know, the career of a running back in this league normally doesn't last real long.
That's right.
And you start taking a bunch of shots, you know, those running backs start getting hurt. And so what's going to happen there? And so there's still a lot of questions on that football team. But if they do shore up the defense, they can be better. And like I said, they should win the NFC East.
Why do you think it took so long? I looked at the deal, and Dak got pretty much everything he wanted. I mean, they could have signed that a year ago. Why do you think they waited?
I think because they've got the same feeling that we've got is, you know, he's a very good player, but he's surrounded a couple of years ago, surrounded by some great players. That's when the offensive line was healthy. They had the receivers. Ezekiel had, you know, his best year, and, you know, he struggled when some of those players got hurt. So, you know, they're looking at him. They say, hey, you know, he is a very good player. He's a great leader. He can win a championship as long as we have great players around him. But is he great? They paid him great money, though.
Yeah. Who was the first player? Because you really built the Cowboys up. They weren't squat before you got there. Who was the first player in the NFL that you paid big money to, that you agreed to, and did you sleep the next night? How did it land for you?
well, you say they weren't squat. Yeah, they were squat. Yeah, but they did have three straight losing seasons, and they were 3-13 before we got there. The first big contract we did, you know, was with Troy, and like I said, you know, his money, what, you know, in his career, I think what he made, $55 million or so. Well, you know, Zach's already made that.
Yeah.
Or Dak has, you know, and so he was the first big contract. But, you know, because you don't win this league if you don't have a quarterback. And I think that was the problem that Jerry had. He was a little bit between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
He knew that there's no way you're going to win unless you have a quality quarterback, hopefully a franchise quarterback. And so, you know, it was either, you know, not have a franchise quarterback and have no chance, or pay Dak what he wanted.
Yeah. You know, I will say, like, you knew when you paid Troy, and I feel this way with Dak, they're adults. You don't have to worry about them getting squirrely. Like, the one thing I'll say about Dak is he's a grown-up. I mean, I know tomorrow he's the first guy in the facility.
A quality person all the way.
Yeah. The boy, it's just interesting. That's a Jerry likes his deals, but he paid you pretty well. He paid you pretty well, didn't he?
Oh, please. Are you kidding me?
He didn't pay you well?
I actually, you know, this is crazy. People don't understand this. This is crazy. You know, when I went to the Cowboys, Jerry said, well, hey, I'm going to give you a long-term contract. I'm going to give you a contract. He said, how much should we pay you? I said, just pay me what I made at Miami. I said, eventually I'll get my money. But I actually took the same money that I was making at University of Miami my first year. And he said, well, I'm going to give you a 10-year contract. Well, I said, well, you don't have to give me a 10-year contract. I'll be fine. You know, but he gave me a 10-year contract. Now, after, you know, the second year, when it's, you know, we showed progress, it looked like we were going to win a bunch of games. We redid the contract. We redid it 3 or 4 times, redid it all the way until I left. You know, we worked out the deal, and he paid me some money. But hey, please, I was maybe $2 million.
All right. Well, you're out in the Keys. You had to do pretty well with that thing. Maybe it's Fox. Maybe.
Hey, Colin, I have made more money in the stock market than I ever made coaching. Really, what has allowed me to come to the Keys and do what I'm doing, it's because of the stock market, not because of coaching.
It is funny to look at those coaching salaries. They're big now, but you go back.
my wife Rhonda asked me the other day, she says, how much are these coaches making? And I said, you know, what some of them are making. She said, I knew you should have stayed in coaching.
That's funny. The legend, Hall of Famer Jimmy Johnson. Great seeing you, Coach. Thanks so much. You're a busy guy. Appreciate it.
All right, Colin. Talk to you.
All right. Take care. No, it is. Like, if you forget this, I remember this. I grew up with Don James. He was the coach at the University of Washington. And Don was the mentor for Nick Saban. Like, when Don passed, Nick Saban's like, yeah, that's how I learned how to coach. And Don was Washington was a top 5 program for years and years. And about 5 years after he retired, coaches started making a bloody fortune. And I always thought, that poor guy's in the golf course saying, you know, I may come back and coach. Like, the industry, coaches used to not make anything.
Think about the players. We've had Terry on before talking about what he was making. Like, he was trying to go to, I think, the Pro Bowl for what the bonus was, and the Steelers wouldn't let him or something like that.
Listen, people had second jobs.
Yeah.
For a while.
In pretty much all sports.
That's just crazy.
That's what the WNBA does now. They have to have second jobs.
Do they?
Yeah, a lot of WNBA players play overseas. So they have the same job, but they generally play overseas to supplement.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I gotta read this spot. You have 30 minutes. Never have to worry about a break-in in your home again. That's how quick it is to set up SimpliSafe. SimpliSafeColin.com. Customize. Get a free security camera. SimpliSafeColin.com. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, a guy who doesn't need a second job, but technically does have a second job because he does do a lot of endorsements.
Who's that?
Dak Prescott.
Oh, my God. He has a shocking number.
what did he make, 50 million in endorsements? That is a second job. Like, that is commercials, photo shoots.
You and I.
It's not a heavy lifting,
That was jaw-dropping.
That's a lot
for
of
me.
Hours.
I'm rarely stunned. When I read that Dak had made 50 million in endorsements by 2019.
Good for him.
I knew he had the yogurt one.
Right.
I knew that one.
Yogurt, he has the bed commercial.
Yes. 50 million, though.
Campbell's.
Commercials, you know.
You've done commercial shoots before.
Not like that.
No, but I'm saying, you know, the production that goes.
Oh, it's a whole
these.
Day.
Yeah, it's yeah. not a, you know, it's, maybe not, they, it's not a tweet.
Maybe they give you a free mattress. That's what I got. He got 40 million or something.
Well, I don't know if he got it for one, but he made some from some of them.
Oh, God,
he got 50 million. Well, current and former NFL players showed Dak some love yesterday after his new deal was announced. Teammate DeMarcus Lawrence tweeted, "He's back." Former Cowboy DeMarcus Ware said, "Congrats, Dak. Go finish what you started. Hashtag Cowboys Nation." Randall Cobb, one of my favorite teammates of all time, well-deserved. Calais Campbell tweeted, "Love to see Dak get what he deserves. Much deserved. $40 million each and every year." And Jalen Ramsey said, "It's always earned. Nobody just giving out free money. LOL. Congrats, Dak."
He's always been well-liked.
I do like that Jalen Ramsey tweet. Dak is well-liked, and that definitely helps. And I think that should and could be a good lesson, that Dak is a genuinely good person by all accounts, and anyone that interacts with him speaks very highly. I think it shows off the field and on the field. His teammates, players, coaches, everyone enjoys playing with him, and that has extreme value. And when you add the winning and leadership that he has, that puts all this, that makes signing a deal like this less difficult when you're talking about the money.
Yeah, I always laugh. I remember what was the term? If you got along with your bosses for a year, it was brown noser. Like that guy, he sucks up to bosses. And I was always like, but time out. Do you want to be antagonistic toward your boss? I've always gotten along with all my bosses, because my takeaway is they're paying me a lot of money, and we're both looking for the same thing, revenue, ratings, and growth.
And they're the ones that make the decisions.
And so, like, Dak has always been, like, Dak got some heat during the anthem controversy, but there was a lot of stuff going on in America, and I think we've talked about that. I think Jerry appreciated support. And I don't understand the argument. You can lubricate or agitate your work environment.
How did that work out for Carson Wentz?
Not great.
He's no longer in Philadelphia.
Get along with people. Everybody likes Dak. It's like, you're not selling out if you're liked by your bosses.
And it's not like Dak has had the perfect situation either.
No. But you know, my dad used to have this. They had a saying. I said it on the air before. My dad was a man of few words, but he had three or four sayings, and one of them was, most of your employment, the decisions about your employment, will be made when you're out of the room. So your employment will be decided and you're not in the room. And people are going to raise hands, approve, disapprove. Get along with people. Be a nice person. Dak, people love Dak. You know, when he got hurt, went off the field, you saw his teammates.
Oh, yeah. They were
sick.
Everyone was. Like, even if you didn't think that Dak is what his quote-unquote hype is, you felt for him. Because if nothing else, and we talk about this all the time, why do you root for the man? Like, don't you want to root for the employee? Like, that's what most of us are. Don't you want to see, like, someone better their life? And, like, I get it. It's a salary cap, and you want money and all of that. But, like, this is his first contract. Of course he should get all of the money that he can, and if he didn't want to do it, that's his prerogative. But I'm just glad that we are, after today, we can finally move on to something else.
Tomorrow we'll do a little.
Yes.
And then,
congratulations, Dak. Yeah. Very happy for you, genuinely. So Jalen Hurts is now in line to be the Eagles' next quarterback, thanks to that Carson Wentz trade, and he's looking to take advantage of the opportunity and prove that they chose the right guy.
I think it was just an opportunity for me. I think it shows the trust and what they think I can be as a player, so I want to prove them right. I think, you know, nothing changes for me in my mindset. Going in every day trying to get better as a player, be the best leader I can be, impact the guys around me, and ultimately, you know, it's just about winning football games and being consistent and doing that.
Hurts also said he wishes nothing but the best for Wentz and hope he has a great rest of his career, but he also said the two have not spoken since the trade. So,
well, that The Eagles did neither of them a favor. I mean, that's you pitted those two against each other.
I think that everyone played a role. I don't think Hurts did, but I think everyone who left played a role, and the front office played a role in how everything fell apart in Philadelphia. You're absolutely right. They pitted them against each other. They should have had a better plan if they were going to draft him, and communicating with Carson Wentz as to why they were drafting Jalen Hurts. It was a dysfunctional situation, and the more and more stories that come out of Philadelphia are very disheartening as far as like where the franchise is trending. I'm rooting for Jalen Hurts. I would like to see him get a full year and see them put pieces around him and give him an actual shot, but I have no confidence that they're going to do that, even though they've said they're not going to take another quarterback.
They haven't drafted very well in recent years. You gotta cross your fingers. Go get a receiver, though. 16 games, get him a receiver. O-line is talented, banged up, it's healthier. So, and again, it's not a good division. I mean, would it shock you? I mean, that's the only division in football. You could tell me anybody won it.
A different team wins every single year.
And I'd be like, yeah, they just got hot. I mean, it's just not.
A different team wins every single year. And that's my issue with what Philadelphia has done, because I felt like they were in the best position of all of those teams last year to actually win the division. And Washington is a team that put it all together. I mean, every team in that division had to play with a backup quarterback.
Washington had no business winning. The coach was fighting cancer. Alex Smith wasn't available. I think they started the year with Dwayne Haskins. I mean, if you really look at the Washington, it was a first year for the coach, no preseason. I mean, the fact that Washington won it is kind of like a testament to Ron Rivera.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You start looking around the NFL, as good as Brian Flores is, usually your first year with a team, you're lost for 2 months. So,
and he did it while fighting cancer and with no preseason. It's very impressive. A big part of that was Chase Young, and he gave back to his family after his impressive rookie year. He gifted both of his parents with brand new cars.
Oh, I love this.
And posted a video of the surprise to his Instagram saying, "My first dream was making it to the NFL. This is my second. Hashtag all God. I love these videos." We love showing these. Oh, it's so fun.
They get all emotional.
Well, just nice. You know, they put in a lot of hard work, and, you know, there's a family elements, a lot of support that goes into athletes making it. You know, you got to drive to practice every day and pick them up and go to games.
For 15, 20 years.
Yeah, there's an investment that goes into this.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, they don't want anything back from it except for their, you know, son to be successful. But the videos are always fun. We love watching these very human interactions. So That's awesome. New cars, too.
Yeah.
Congrats, parents.
Congrats, parents. Joy of the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
It also shows you how many good people there are in sports. There's a lot of people that make money, and they don't share it. I mean, if you go look at pro athletes, how many they make it, and they give it back. They're always going back to their communities. They're going back to their parents. So those are great. All right, next and best for last. Dak or whack? I don't even know what this is. I have no idea what we're playing. Dak or whack, next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bruins Islanders, Discover Card Key Matchup. They match all the cash back you earn on your credit card into your first year automatically. Go to discover.com/yes, discover.com/yes. All right, we're playing best for last, Dak or whack. Joy is going to ask me questions about Dak Prescott. Are they true, Dak, or are they false, whack?
All right. Dak Prescott holds the Cowboys' single-season record for most passing yards.
Yeah, that's Dak.
Nope. Tony Romo, 2012.
Tony Romo?
Yep, he has Dak's 2019 season beat by 1 yard for the most in Cowboys franchise history. Romo, 4,903. Dak, 4,902.
Wow.
Dak is already in the Cowboys' top 5 all-time in career passing yards.
Staubach, Romo. Yes, that's Dak.
Dak is fifth all-time in Cowboys career passing yards. Dak is the last Cowboys quarterback to win a road playoff game.
That's a trick question. I'm going to say whack.
You're correct. 2-1 so far. The Cowboys have not won a road playoff game since 1992.
What?
NFC Championship game.
What?
Troy Aikman, our colleague.
Okay, so 28 years?
Long time ago.
They have not won a road playoff game.
I was five years old.
That's the last road playoff win for Dallas. 28 years ago.
Yep.
Good hell.
Dak is now in the Cowboys' top five all-time in career passing touchdowns.
Again, Aikman, Staubach, Romo, Danny White. I would say he's fifth. Dak.
Sixth. 106 career passing touchdowns. Sixth all-time in Cowboys franchise history. Dak has the most game-winning drives in a single season in Cowboys history.
Well, they've mostly had bad defenses, so he has had to come back.
The most?
Well, it says single season.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the answer could be like five. God, I want to say, again, Romo. I mean, Aikman, by the third year, Troy Aikman wasn't playing from behind much. That's why it's, you know, I mean, in the first year, Troy didn't win. And by the third year, he wasn't behind much. So I'll say Dak.
Troy Aikman had six in 1990. Dak had five drives during a season twice in his career, but not six. Dak has a single season record for the most sacks taken in Cowboys history.
Now, wait a minute. He's mostly had a good offensive line, plus he's mobile. I'm going to say whack.
You're not taking my hints. Dak was sacked 56 times in 2018. I keep telling you about this offensive line. I'm glad Jimmy Johnson said something. You need to be worried about that offensive line, not that defense.
He was sacked 58 times 2 years
56.
Ago. 56. He was?
Dak has a single season record for the most interceptions thrown in Cowboys history.
I don't know. He doesn't throw a lot of picks. I say that's whack.
Correct. Cowboys single season record is 25. The most Dak has thrown in a season was 13, and that was in 2017.
All right.
Very efficient. Dak has the most attempts in one season in Cowboys history.
Most pass attempts, you're saying?
Yes.
Well, okay, first couple years it was a Zeke-led team, so that's not true. Last year he was injured, so it would have to be like, I say that's whack.
Correct. Tony Romo, 2012, holds the record 648.
Oh my God.
Dak is second with 596 in 2019.
And you know, and Romo.
I like this music, Ryan. Happy belated birthday, by the way.
Yeah, how old is he?
I don't know. I don't ask people's age.
Why not?
How old are you, Ryan?
I'm 29 now.
29.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
Why can't I ask that? You're good. You're an attractive woman. You should be proud
of
your
age. Well, my age is also available readily on the internet, so there's no point in lying about it.
So people are going to say you're tacky, but...
What?
Did I ask your age?
I mean, no. I don't think I just... I'm fine with my age. This is how old I am. I feel like people that are embarrassed by their age haven't accomplished or, like, are not in the
you're
space
they want to
be
for
at
your
their
age.
Well, yeah. Am I? I think I'm just like mature. I'm not young.
34 is young.
Is it?
34? I have furniture older than you.
Do you? I don't think you do. You move a lot and you get new furniture every time you move. So I don't know if I believe that. You might have one piece of
34
furniture.
34 is young.
It's youngish. It's not terribly young. Ryan is young. 29 is young. He's still in his 20s.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan, seriously.
Yeah.
Get older. I mean, it's a... It's embarrassing to be that young. Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran-owned, gives premium coffee to people who love America. Doesn't give it. You got to pay for it. BlackRifleCoffee.com. The code is HERD, H-E-R-D, at checkout for 20% off your first coffee club order. All right, we did some Dak today. I'm not going to lie. It was kind of had one topic for 3 hours. May do the same tomorrow, the HERD.